Welcome to Mission Minded, the podcast where we explore outside-the-box thinking and carrying out Christ's Great Commission. Due to the coronavirus, we are connecting with people through video conference. We hope you enjoy this week's episode as we welcome Ken and Wendy Cabertle of Wear Gloves. We're changing things up a little bit due to the coronavirus, and we are trying some interviews via the web. And so today we've got some special guests, Ken and Wendy Cabertle. Hey guys.
Hey.
Hey, Jim. Hey.
So most people don't know you as well as I do. So help me understand a little bit, if I didn't know you, of course, just who you guys are and maybe some of the work that you're involved in.
Well, that's a complicated question, as you expected. But we started Wear Gloves just over 10 years ago now, with our primary purpose of reaching the distressed in Marion County. That's kind of our goal. We have three initiatives right now that we kind of concentrate on. We have Church in the Garden, which is a street church service that we have usually weekly. We have the Dignity Center, which allows folks in need to earn what they need, and that encompasses a lot of different initiatives. We also have Dignity Roasters Coffee, where we actually employ distressed folks for them to earn what they need through coffee. So we're supplying coffee to a lot of churches and businesses and individuals around the country. So the Dignity Center side of it, really, it's really about love. It's about the greatest commandment. We think it's better to allow somebody to earn what they need as opposed to it being charity, just a better way to love folks that are in severe need. So that's kind of the basics of it.
Yeah. So that's the quick flyover. But one of the things that you've thrown out, and I had not heard this term before, and you guys introduced it to me, was the term distressed. So what does that mean, a distressed individual?
We used to say that we worked primarily with the homeless, but not all of our clients were homeless. All of our clients are in some form of distress. Regardless of where they live. Some of them do live in tents or shelters or their cars. Some of them are the working poor, just having trouble making ends meet, have gone through some sort of a tragedy or a trauma in their life and need a little bit of extra love and prayer to help them get back on their feet again. So all of our clients are distressed in some way, regardless of their housing situation.
We found the term homeless somewhat disrespectful to folks in the homeless community. A lot of them don't consider themselves homeless. They're just in a bad spot for that moment. And it makes them feel better about the term as opposed to homelessness.
So there's a lot there. There's a lot of information about, you know, the work that you're doing on your website, which is weargloves.org, right?
Yes.
That's kind of the flyover site. But I think one of the things that I really love about you guys and your personal journey is just, you're just regular folks. And, I mean, you were involved in my wife's church when she was growing up and just kind of started wrestling with some challenges that led you to this point.
Yeah, well, the truth is we're less than average folks. You know, we could not be still plus 10 years into this ministry without the big guy being involved. So we totally know that he's blessing our steps because we could not run a coffee business and you know, employ 130-some distressed people a week in a job center without him being involved. So we're honored to be in the work, but we take very little credit other than being willing. That's about all we have to offer. So thank you.
Yeah. No, and I didn't mean that in a negative way. Just average folks, but I think sometimes we, at least I do, I sometimes put people on a pedestal, you know, wherever they are in their journey that, you know, you see a challenge and, you know, that's for somebody else. That's not for my personal walk. God's got somebody better than me, more qualified than me. And you guys just took it one step at a time, selling your house, moving into an RV, kind of taking this journey, you know, that led you to today.
It's tough. I mean, the early steps were tough, but once you continually see God bless your steps, you know, and just trust that what he has you doing right now may be totally different in 2 weeks. We just kind of trust that now, and it's easier the longer we're into it, just because it's exciting and it's fun to be a part of his story. So, simple.
Well, thanks for the work that you do. And just to clarify, in case people didn't catch that in the beginning, that there's a lot of people that we might encounter that are in distress situations. Could be somebody on the side of the road that's asking for money. And rather than giving somebody money, that's not always the best solution. And you've worked through some different options through your center.
Well, we have. And we learned just the negative effects of our act of generosity by spending time in homeless camps and spending time on the streets with folks, making friends with folks, and learning what that's really all about. You know, and it's really our goal is just to love folks better. And we've learned that it's generally not a good idea to fuel a dependency. You know, if one of our kids was dealing with a dependency, it wouldn't be good if the neighbors were giving him money or her money, you know. So that's just the same kind of concept. So we just don't. We develop relationships and we help folks move forward and we allow them to earn so they start feeling their God-given value. When a person's in that kind of situation, they really feel less than, they feel worthless. They aren't realizing their God-given value, being a man in his image. Mm-hmm. So once you start allowing folks to earn and move up and have friends and help, then they start feeling that again and then they want to get ahead. Mm-hmm. We just think that's better. And that's 10 years into that, kind of what we've learned. And that's pretty much what everything that we do now is based on that. Just how do we best love this person that God has put in front of us. So that's the job of the day, every day.
Nice. And you guys have different programs going on, working with local companies, giving jobs. Not only that, you also are roasting coffee, which I've got my Dignity Center coffee, which is always good stuff. People can subscribe to that too. And you're shipping anywhere they live, right?
That's correct. So Ken mentioned earlier that we employ about 130 people a week at our job center. And one of the things that we do is Dignity Roasters Coffee. So we help people earn their food handling certification, learning how to work around food, learning how to triple wash a dish and wash their hands properly, and all of those things that you need to learn to move forward in a job, in a server position or in a restaurant position. We roast coffee, we package and we ship it all across the country. You can subscribe at dignityroasters.com, and 100% of the profits of every bag of coffee goes directly into housing those clients that are working in our coffee ministry. So they are generating revenue. They're learning skills, and at the end of the month, we pay directly to their landlord the money that they've earned on their account. So Dignity Roasters employs several people. Our Dignity Center employs many, many more. We partner with manufacturers in our area, and they outsource products to our Dignity Center. We process them piecework, sort of, and package and ship back to the manufacturer, and our clients earn money on their account for their needs, light bills, rents, paying off fines, whatever their needs are. One of our biggest partners is the city of Ocala, where we live. They employ wear gloves, but we send our clients out into the parks. They do litter pickup 5 days a week in our city parks. The city then pays wear gloves, and we pay our clients in their needs. So everything is needs-based, but what we try to do is find ways to generate some revenue and to teach some skills along the way. We're trying to help our clients become employable, learning how to show up to work on time and how to interact appropriately with coworkers and how to receive feedback from a supervisor. All of those things that help become employable, and we do give lots of job references too. So helping people move forward, become productive citizens again.
Right. I think, again, just circling back around to see where you guys are now, it would seem like, wow, those are some very uniquely talented people that God's called to this work. But just knowing your background and story a little bit more, that it wasn't something that just happened overnight. It's mm-hmm. been a journey in this, and as you mentioned, that it's been God and God leading and working through it. But just a challenge, maybe people that are feeling those callings on their life and seeing the changes that God might be nudging them in a certain direction. What might you say to encourage somebody to maybe listen to those nudges or maybe take those steps that don't always make sense?
Well, 10 years ago when we started Wear Gloves, we had no idea that we'd be doing any of the things that we do today. We simply made ourselves available and open to whatever God wanted to teach us and show us. And we just tried to love the person who God put in our path. We were just doing our best to love our neighbor in a way that was dignified and not creating more dependency in their life. It's really just evolved. God has just opened up doors, and we just keep walking through doors. My example of the City of Ocala partnership, 6 years ago, the City of Ocala trespassed Wear Gloves from city parks because we were attracting undesirables into the park. And through a series of praying and teaching and loving both our city employees and our clients and advocating for both sides, we now have a beautiful partnership where the city actually pays us to take those same clients into their parks. So it's just a matter of following God's path. And as a door opens, take a step, one step at a time.
And we were the same way before we kind of got into this. We went to church on Sundays and stuff, but you get into the greatest commandment, love God, love others. That's not really an option if you call yourself a Christian. You know, we are called to love others. So if we're not seeking to do that, your life is not going to be fulfilled. I don't think we can possibly have joy or be fulfilled unless we're seeking to do that. So if somebody is called, if you feel like they're called into a homeless ministry or something, you've got to kind of take those steps. He's not going to make you do it, you know, but he's going to bless you when you do it, you know, and you'll kind of just keep going that direction. Just keep kind of taking steps, and then he'll use the experiences that you have had and kind of, you know, bless others. So it's wonderful, but it's frustrating on our end to see, you know, 80% of the folks that go to church do nothing but go to church. So we really hope that folks are able to experience the joy that our volunteers and stuff do get to see when they actually get to come alongside folks that are in serious need and really share what they believe and why and stuff. And I hope this encourages somebody to take that step.
And again, if somebody wants to learn more about your journey, you got the story on your website, weargloves.org. So somebody should definitely check that out. Currently, though, we're in a unique situation with the coronavirus. And just curious, what kind of complexities has that caused in your work?
It's complicated. I mean, our whole focus with the Dignity Center is to really take folks out of dependency. You know, I mean, there were folks that are panhandling and stuff, and just do that every once a week and stuff to generate enough income to pay your, you know, bills or alcohol, whatever else. We kind of changed that to allow folks to come in and work for us in exchange for that. Now, with most of the work with our manufacturers being shut down, we have folks that we've moved inside that are accustomed to working for us in exchange for rent help or utility help or paying their felony fines off. And now suddenly we are not generating that kind of income. So it's difficult to rely totally on our donor base to keep this going. You know, we have folks that are in serious needs. I mean, 4 and 6 people living in a trailer. You know, they work for us 1-2 days a week for groceries and rent and stuff. And then suddenly we are in a position where we can't allow them to earn that again, you know. So we hate the idea that they've come dependent upon us. Cause that's really what we've been fighting to get away from. Mm-hmm. But we have folks that are just not employable because of felonies, because of addictions, because of mental illness, because of physical illness. So it's a tough place to be in. So the virus hasn't done much to help the mission and help folks in need. I mean, we can't go to restaurants like we used to, but understand there are folks that are in major survival mode that we weren't aware of before we started doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough spot to be in. Mm-hmm. Still get 50, 60, 70 texts a week, people wanting to get on the schedule and to work. So it's a tough place. So hopefully this passes by quickly.
Mm-hmm. So people that are in, you know, different parts of the country, obviously in your community, there's some people that can get behind the work that you're doing. Sounds like, you know, financially right now, it's a big need to be able to support the work that you're doing. But as across our country, would there be other ways that people can serve distressed individuals in their community?
Well, sure. You know, I'm sure there are. We traveled around for quite a while, and there weren't many ministries that kind of like wore gloves. So we kind of took a lot of the stuff that we learned, both in the camps and on the streets, and with working with other ministries to find, a focus for wear gloves, and God's kind of changed it. But I think it's just about love, you know. So whatever is happening out there, just get involved in it and just be aware of the consequences of your act of service, you know. So instead of just giving somebody money because they're asking for money, you can still love them. You don't have to just walk away or not make eye contact. You can say, I'm not going to give you money today, but, you know, my name is Gemma and I hope you have a good day. You know, that's a way to at least acknowledge their presence and love them. So I think there's still plenty of ministries out there. So I would just get involved in something and just do something.
Right now, the greatest need is just providing financial needs of our clients. The ability to work for them is not there. The ability for them to show up at soup kitchens sometimes isn't even there. A lot of soup kitchens have shut down because of the social distancing and all of that. So just finding being prayerful about finding the right partner in the community wherever you are, and asking them, you know, how to best help their clients. For our clients right now, they need groceries and they need to know that their rent's going to be paid May 1st. But the needs are going to be different in every community. So just partner with an organization that is boots on the ground and ask the best way to get involved, because it's going to be different in every community.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there things that you're seeing now that you might change going forward? Maybe some of the things that you've learned from this time that going forward it might be, you know, something you can apply to your ministry.
We learn and adjust every week. I mean, there's things that we are seeing. I mean, we've actually had a little bit of time now to actually plan and think a little bit about the ministry. When you're in ministry mode, as you know, it's 24/7 and you're just guns ablaze and constantly, so you don't really have time to be on the outside and kind of watch and learn. So it's nice to be able to kind of sit back and talk and pray and kind of see what we could do better. But I don't know, anybody else
here today? Yeah, I mean, the day-to-day operationally, we are working in our business, running things, making things happen. But we are using this time to work on our business now, to strategize. We got a puppy. We're training him to be a therapy dog. So when we go back, there'll be that. We're trying to become more of a therapeutic community, not just a job center producing things and offering piecework, but offering daily devotion time and some more case management, some more group therapy, recovery coaching, things like that, that we plan on implementing, because people are going to go back to work, but they're going to still be super stressed out. So we're just trying to prepare ahead a little bit for the mental part of what this is, you know, what this is causing to our clients. It's a lot of stress. And so we're just using this time to kind of prepare for that and prayerfully consider how we can best serve our clients when we get to see them again.
So specifically right now, how can we be praying for you, or how can we get behind and support your ministry?
Well, I mean, the social enterprise concept, you know, where we're actually contracting with manufacturers and stuff, that's kind of down right now. Hopefully it's back in May. Coffee is still rolling, so we still have, coffee going out. So subscribe to a bag of coffee, dignityroasters.com, and that just automatically creates revenue and employs folks. So that's just a beautiful thing.
We all know that coffee is essential. So, and we are grateful that coffee is essential and that we can keep manufacturing food and shipping and packaging coffee all over the place. So,
but keep us in your prayers. I mean, keep folks that are in this distressed positions in your prayers, and just try to realize that being locked in your house for a few weeks with all of our comforts isn't so bad, considering what some folks are going through right now. So, so prayers would be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing, guys. Appreciate the work you're doing, and appreciate the friends that you've been in my life, and the example that you guys lead in just trying to figure this thing out. I know, as you mentioned, it's complicated, but it's been encouraging to see how God's working in and through your ministry.
Well, we appreciate you too, Jim, and we love what iTech does. So you guys are awesome. Thanks for the kind words.
All right. Thank you for joining us for this podcast, and we look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Mission Minded. For more information on today's topic and show notes, please visit our website, itechusa.org.